theme and the realization that churches can do amazing things when the people work together. We are better together. And we have an amazing summer in front of us. The ladies have their tea party coming up. We've got the pavilion dedication. We've got the arm or the military coming on July 13th. We're going to feed them. We have the pancake tent in August. And so today the title of the message is this. We're talking about the power of teamwork. The power of teamwork. And to kick this off, I'm going to have a message in a few moments, few minutes, on how there were four people who became a team to bring a paralytic to Jesus. And we're going to talk about that biblical perspective. But before we do that, I want us to watch a video. It's 6 minutes long. And it's a view of what teamwork is. It's a secular interpretation, but there's a lot of good points in it. It's 6 minutes long. I direct your attention to the TV screens and listen for what teams can do, all right? Let's watch it.
The Oilers are a perfect 4-0.
For you when you get a chance, we'd like it to stir up your cryo tanks.
How good can a team be? Seriously, how powerful is teamwork? Great teamwork. I mean, really ask that question. Who defines the limit? And what if we were to push that edge? Stop to think about this for a moment and realize that every team that accomplished the untouchable, every team that got out there, every team that had done what had never been done before, they all had to break through. They all had to understand that there was this edge. And then they had to challenge the edge. And then they had to break through that invisible line. They all had to do it.
Through that group of incredibly talented people, bumping up against each other, having arguments, having fights sometimes, making some noise, and working together, they polish each other. And they polish the ideas, and what comes out are these really beautiful stones.
There's no other way to get through other than challenging your fears. Because in order for teamwork to be at its highest potential, everyone's got to have something on the line. You have to. Otherwise, you're only partway in. At the end of the day, you're going to need to trust those around you. To fully trust, this is about us, and you can count on me. I think about New Zealand, this country with under 5 million people, and they have the best rugby team in the world, the All Blacks. Consistently the best in the world. Or the Apollo mission, a group of people saying, we hear you, we've got you, and all of our talents are on the line to get you home. That's teamwork. Think about the Beatles. All of that music that we know of theirs, all of it, was made in about 8 years. Just 8 years. They were that incredible as a team. Great teams, I mean, they're not about individuals melting into the team. That's the mistake. People hear about the power of teamwork and they think it's about losing yourself to the singular goal. They think it's about fully giving in to something bigger than you. You don't lose yourself. Great teammates, they don't lose themselves. They stand up. They say, I'm here. They choose to be in and they choose to play their unique part. That's how it works. So then what's the breakthrough? What did those teams see to unlock the full power of teamwork? You know, that's the hard part. You can't see the edge. You actually don't know where it is until you cross over and look back and see where it was. That's why it's always easier. I mean, it's always easier to catch up than it is to raise the bar. Because the team that broke through, they marked the line. And now everyone else, They just need to get over that mark. The Patriots, Belichick, Brady, I mean, what they've been doing is so unbelievable because they keep raising the bar. They keep nudging it higher. So even if people catch up, it's too late. You know, Steve Jobs and Apple.
For the first time ever, I'd like to let Macintosh speak for itself.
They were operating in this abyss. I mean, they were out there in this vast unknown. So instead of breaking through, instead of seeing the line, you have to forget the line. It's just another limit. The marker in great teams is never extreme. Because you're out in this unknown. You're out in this unmapped territory. So instead, the power of teamwork comes from a belief. It comes from a mindset. We can't get satisfied by the breakthroughs. We can celebrate them. We should celebrate them, but we can't be satisfied by the limits. That's what humbles me the most about great teams. That's what humbles me the most about the power of teamwork. Because it's almost like you've got to operate in the darkness, knowing you're lighting the path for everyone else, and still heading out there, still pushing that edge. That's how to unlock the power of teamwork.
Need a copy at the point. And on the board, take four! There's the presentation to Wayne Gretzky, the young Edmonton captain.
It's a great video. Challenging ideas and so forth. And realize I want to give a shout out to one person. Mike Allen's in the back row. Mike, it's good to have you with us today. He's visiting. And so, Mike, thanks for coming. Great. So in that video, he talks about the power of teamwork. I want to pull out just a few thoughts. He said that people polish ideas. As you and I experience teamness and teamwork, we polish ideas that surface among people. He says all of our talents are on the line. When Apollo 13, I believe it was, when they were in danger of not even being able to get home, all of the talents of the people on earth were engaged to bring them back safely. He says we have to choose to play your unique role. Everybody has a lane to run in. And then he said this, it's a mindset. And it's how we view our lives in Walton, New York. It's how we view our team connections and the future going forward. And then he said this, teams can light the path for someone else. God wants churches like that as well. Churches that will light the path for other people of what he can do. And so the principles of teamwork apply to a family, they apply to a church, they apply to a business, and even a community. And so today we're going to look at this whole thing of teamness and teamwork. And here's a couple of pictures I want to show you. Here's the first one. The big idea of the message is that teamwork makes the dream work. 20 years ago, thereabouts, there were people, small group of people on the backside of Walton, close to Austin Lincoln Park, believed in purchasing the property. They had a vision and a dream. Not much money, didn't have all the answers, but there was a group of people that stepped out. And they found that the teamwork brings the vision to reality. Teamwork makes the dream work. Now, here's a quote. I like it. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. There's amazing force and power when you go together. Here's an acronym of TEAM. Together, everyone achieves more, and it's true. People collectively can do more than what we can do individually. And here's the last quote. The truth is that teamwork is the heart of great achievement. As I said earlier, when I thought about the past few years of the church, there was a core group of people that came together to work as a team to get us to this point. It's a reality today, but it wasn't 21 years ago. And yet there was a group that says, we can make this happen. And the guy in the video said this, there's an edge. There's a sense of what's next. And whether you're a church or an organization, you have to have an edge. And you keep pushing the edge forward of what we believe that God wants to do in our community. We're just a player in it. We're a vessel. And if people are in tune with what God is speaking, the edge will always be challenged. There's going to be more to it, more to accomplish. The pavilion is awesome. 2 weeks from today, we're going to dedicate it. And it's for us. It's also for the community. It's a tool. That's all it is. You know what it'll do? Create a sense of connection and community in Walton. Family reunions, celebration events, church events, meetings. I mean, it's just a tool. But the point is, God calls churches to push the edge forward. What's next? What's beyond that? We'll celebrate the successes, but we always ask the question, maybe there's something else God is calling us to do. So in the story today, Mark chapter 2, there are four guys who bring a paralytic to Jesus. Jesus is preaching in a house, and the place is jam-packed. And they can't get the paralytic inside the door. So they get creative. And what they do is they climb up on the roof, and they literally take part of the roof off. They deconstructed. I don't know whose home it was, if they had a fit when that happened, but they took part of the roof apart and they lowered the paralytic down into the presence of Jesus. And you know what happened? Two miracles. They got in the presence of Jesus, this paralytic. Number one, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And number two, take up your mat and walk. He got healed. You see, they knew the source of who the healer could be in this paralytic's life. And what's interesting at the end of the story, as it closes out, it says this, the people were amazed at what they saw. Do you realize God will take church families, and if we listen to him, trust him, the world, the community we live in will watch on, and they will be amazed. You know why? God is at work among us. And so we find in this story, the big idea, teamwork makes the dream work. These four people, there could have been more guys, I'm not sure, but four of them lowered this guy through the roof before Jesus and he found a sense of healing. I want to talk about four teamwork insights from this text. Just four simple thoughts. That if you and I, in our committees, in our life groups, in the projects we're involved with, if every person here keeps these things in mind, let me tell you, great things can happen through groups of people who work together in this thing called teamwork. So teamwork makes the dream work. Okay, number one, here's the first point. A team of people organized around meeting the need of another person. The guy was paralyzed. And these four guys said, you know what? If we can get him into the presence of Jesus, he can find healing and hope. And so they organized their life around meeting other people's needs. Can I tell you, you know why we exist today as a church? I mean, we love each other and we have a good time, but you know who we exist for? The people that aren't here. Jesus said the fields are widened to harvest. The empty seats this morning should have somebody sitting in them, and we exist for the people that aren't here. We're other person-minded. That's what Jesus was when he had 99 sheep in the pen. He was missing one, and he went out to find that one lost sheep. We exist for other people. Insight number one, organize your team, your life, around meeting the need of somebody else. Let me tell you, that's just plain biblical and the way God would like us to do life. So read with me verses 1 and 2 in your notes. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even the outside the door. And he preached the word to them. And let's read verse 3. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. So you get the picture. The house is packed. Jesus is inside. The four guys bring the paralytic, and they can't get in. And the key is this. You and I, or they organize their life about helping another person. Every ministry in our church needs to keep in mind the other person that's not here. I mean, we're going to fellowship and love on each other and have a great time. We find encouragement. But if you want to really find fulfillment in life, we organize who we are about the people that are not here. And we build that into the DNA of our groups and in our teams. Here's a picture. I just love it. I mean, you don't need any words with that. Just look at it. That's the church in action. That's a pavilion being put up. Maybe it's a tea party. It's soup. It's people that do refreshments. It's outreach during the week through the stewards. It's calling on people. It's making a difference in our community. It's putting in a basketball court. It's doing all these things. And the teamwork is going to somehow bring everybody together, and we're going to organize to make a difference in the people's lives that we live among. Here's another quote or a picture. Teamwork is union. In union, there is strength. So understand that when we all pull together on the same rope, when we get on the same page, amazing things happen. It's called unity. Always protect the unity of the church. In membership class, we like to talk about the bucket of water and the bucket of gasoline. And as a church member, as an attendee, you carry two buckets with you. And when you hear something that is just totally off about the kingdom or about the church or something in the community, you say, man, that is just wacky. You have a choice. You can pour the gas on it, which inflames it, or you take the water and you douse it. Be the voice of God in the trenches of life. You have that authority as a church attendee and a member. I mean, be on the lookout. Be a person where you protect the unity of the church, the name of God's kingdom. Just be that voice. You know why? When a group has unity, God shows up and does amazing things in our midst. So point number one, hey, get organized in your life with the people you do life with. And think about always meeting the need of other people. Number two. The second thing is this. Each team member did their part. Each team member did their part. Let me read for you verse 4. It says, since they could not go get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat of the paralyzed man who was lying on it. So we find here again, there were four people that lowered the mat down through the roof. I like to say it this way. Pick up your corner of the mat. Can you imagine if there were only three guys trying to lower this guy in a sheet or a mat? But there's only three of them. It would be a little awkward. But four of them was an equal balance. And they each picked up their corner of the mat. The point is this. You have a corner of the mat to fulfill in the life of the church. You look at what you're good at. You look at what you can do. If you organize, you're organized. If you're here for soup, you serve. If you are good at calling on people, you call on people. If you're good with the hammer, you can help build the pavilion. It's endless. Pick up your corner of the mat. The danger is the people that don't have a corner of the mat in their hand. They are sideliners. And God is calling us to get into the game. The more people who pick up their corner of the mat, the greater the impact can be in what God can do in us and through us. Read with me 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Each one, you are a 10 in some area. I'm thinking of the Operation Christmas Child and the fishing pole assembly, and I know there's people here that were a part of that. And the animal project, and different things are going on, and you just literally find what you can do, and you engage yourself in that particular area. So we've talked a little bit about 2 weeks from today is the pavilion dedication, and I hope you have it on your calendar. Invite some people out. It's a low-key thing. Service is outside, 10:45. We're going to have a meal. Darlene and Kathy are heading that up. And then at 2 o'clock, we've got some people. The mayor's planning on coming. Graydon Dutcher from the school board's coming. I hope Joe Setta can come. And they're going to say a few words. But it's a time in which we will come together and just celebrate that. Now, in July, as you know, is the military. And the numbers have increased. I hear it's up to 115 now, not just 100. They're going to sleep on the second floor of the middle school or the high school. And they're going to set up their services there. The free medical care and the vet care will be at the school. Now, there's going to be county people here in this church for about 10, 11 days in the Harvey Center. They're going to coordinate the volunteers that are going to help out. Downstairs, there's going to be another group of county people. They're going to have some kind of a communication center. So on that day, we're going to have only our two services, 8:30 and 10:45. There'll be no adult classes, but that Sunday that they're here. But on July 13th, we're going to feed them. So the bridge will be dedicated sometime in the afternoon, I believe, at the Veterans Plaza to the Vietnam vet guy who died. Later that afternoon, about 5 o'clock, they're going to come here, about 115 of them, and we're going to feed them a barbecue and a meal and so forth. Put it on your calendar, come out, be a part of it, just to intermingle, just to enjoy it, celebrate it, thank them. About 7 o'clock, we're going to invite the community in advance to come out and meet the military and thank them. You realize we have the privilege of doing that? We're right next to the high school, middle school. We're on the major thoroughfare. We have the facility. The pavilion will be up. I tell you, what a blessing. Immeasurably more of what God is doing. And so we have this amazing opportunity on July 13th. Put it on your calendar. Okay. Then in August, you know, we're getting into the pancake tent. We have to have a mindset of being better together, and each person picks up their corner of the mat, whatever it is, to make a difference. Here's a couple of pictures. I'll let Jake put the next picture up. There we go. This picture has no words to it, but check that out. This is you and me. It's a team. We have different pieces of the puzzle, but the whole thing comes together when everybody does their part. And here's a quote. I like this one. Teamwork gives you the best opportunity to turn vision into reality. As I mentioned, in 2002, we had the opportunity to buy the property, and there's a small group of people that didn't know how to make it happen, but they had the vision. And they literally came together as a team. There was only a few of us. And we said, how can we buy this property? We're an invisible church on the backside of town. And yet they had a vision, and God honored it. In 5 months, we came up with the money to buy the property. And it positioned the church for everything to come. I will say this. I thought about the different markers of the church. 2 years to renovate the sanctuary, 5 years to add on the Harvey Center. The money involved, we put in blacktop, we tore down the barn, the silo, we put in a basketball court, now the pavilion. I thought about all these different milestones, and you know what it was? It was a group of people who worked together as a team to turn a vision into a reality. And we are here today, it's a finished product, this part. But there's always the question of what's next. But the point is, everybody did their part, and they picked up their corner of the mat. During the next 3 months, we need a whole bunch of people doing different things to pick up your corner of the mat to make it happen. We want it to be a good experience, whether it be in June, July, or even August at the Pancake Tent. All right. So number one, organize your team around meeting the need of another person. Number two, each team member did their part. Number three, this gets good. The third point is this. Jesus responded to the team's faith. He responded to the team's faith. Read with me verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And then let's read the next couple of verses. He said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. Two miracles were accomplished, but notice the first phrase. When Jesus saw their faith, circle the word "their." It's a plural pronoun. Not one person's, but their faith. I do not know the faith level of the paralytic. But the four other guys must have had it. And so they brought him to Jesus, and when faith was seen by him, he acted. The paralytic's sins were forgiven. Heaven became his future home. Number two, he got healed at the end of the story, and he took up his mat and he walked home. I want us to catch the insight. Your faith makes a difference in what happens in Walton, New York. Hebrews 11:6, it says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him." I want to talk about the story of David and Goliath. David, a young kid, young man, goes to the battle lines to check on his brothers, take him some food and cheese, and he sees Goliath. And everybody's afraid of Goliath, 9 feet 6 inches tall. He's a giant human. And David comes and says, "Well, I'll take him on." David brought with him faith to the battlefield. If you look at that text, there's no mention of faith prior to that. Even King Saul was afraid of Goliath. David, a young man, shows up. You know what he's got? Faith. And you know what faith does? It attracts the power of God. And he says, "I'll take him on." And sure enough, he faced Goliath with one stone. He dropped him, brought him down. The point is this. God will honor faith on a battlefield. He'll honor it in a church, in a hospital, in a home, wherever you go. And so faith attracts God to work. Here's a quote I'll have Jake put up. God acts in response to our faith. Makes no difference where you're at or who you are. If you have faith, it's like a magnet that God's power shows up and things begin to happen. You know why churches are so important that we have faith? Because when a group of us get together and we get unity and unified on a project, God shows up and does amazing things. There's people here today that were here part of the early church, the Way Early Church. And through the years, they've walked it forward. And their faith attracted God's power. And amazing things have happened over 20 years because of those people's faith. God acts in response to people who have faith. Here's another quote. God still uses champions of faith. He's looking for one person and more, and a champion for a cause, a champion for a mission, a champion to make a difference in our community. It takes one person. And when he finds that one person, and he can gather a team around them. Can I tell you? Amazing things happen. You know why? God shows up where there's faith. And this is what happened to the paralytic. So these four guys, on behalf of the paralyzed guy, brought him to Jesus. Jesus saw their faith, and he was healed and forgiven of their sins. Okay, point number four. The fourth thing is this. The actions of a few caught the attention of many. The actions of a few caught the attention of many. Read with me, Mark 2:12b there in your notes. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." So this guy gets healed, and the crowd literally is amazed by it. They see what's going on, and God is praised and glorified, and they're excited. It amazed everybody. Do you realize that your life, and even the life of the church, when we follow God's leading, can grab the attention of the people around us? It happened when we were building this building. It happened when we did different segments of tearing down the barn and the silo. I mean, people watched. They're still watching. What's going to happen next? What's the next step? But it catches the attention of the people around us. Now, the next few verses, 14 to 16, are the words of Jesus. I want us to read these together. "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Jesus said that we are the light of the world, and you don't put a lamp or a light under a bowl. It'll go out. You put it on a stand, on a hillside, and the light somehow shines out. Now, here's the thing. People will see what's going on, the good deeds, and they'll praise God the Father in heaven. You know, as we think about the pavilion, it's a tool, but God's at work among us. As we think about the military, we want to do that right. We want to have our act together, so to speak, and make it a nice event. People are watching. The pancake tent's the same way. We are God's representatives on the fairgrounds. We just want to do it right the best that we can. But here's the point. You see, the guy in the video said, there's always something, the new edge. What does he mean by that? What is the next thing God is calling us to do? I mean, we will celebrate the pavilion, and the military thing will be neat, and the pancake tent. We do that each year. But here's my question to the church family. What's the new edge for us? Are we done? Did we cross the finish line? Or is there something God is calling us as a church family to do? And we do a 20-year review, and it's all the lion and the bears. When David took on Goliath, he says, you know what, Saul, I can take Goliath out. You know why? When I was a shepherd in the field, I killed the lion and the bear. They gave me confidence. The last 20 years are confidence builders for everything to come. Have we crossed the finish line, or do we push the edge? God, what is your calling of what you want us to do as a church in Walton? You know why? The world is watching. People are watching. In the story, when Jesus released his power and healed the paralytic, it says the people were amazed. Then he got up and he walked. People are watching. And we need to hear God's voice of what he's calling us to do on this property and in the future and in the community. And the more we do that, let me tell you, we push the edge out. We say, God, what is next? You know what it means? We got to be a champion of faith. We need some people that will believe God and start to organize our lives around that particular calling or what he wants us to do. Here's a quote by Michael Jordan. "Talent wins games, but teamwork and intelligence wins championships." We can win a championship together. We've already won some. It sometimes involves risk, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I tell you what, I'm grateful for the leaders of the church over the past 20 years, the board members, the trustees, the people that have said, you know what, as a team, I'm gonna be a champion of faith for what's next. And we're here today because of them. Here's another quote. Teamwork makes the dream work. It's when we get together as a team that the dream can become a reality. Here's another picture, started out with it. It's called Better Together. I want us to understand our mindset that over the next 2 or 3 months, we are just better together. We walk it together, we work together as a team, and God will do amazing things when we join arms and let Him be God in our midst. And here's the last slide. I want to land and finish on this one. God is looking for champions of faith. Who does that look like? It can be a guy, it can be a girl, it can be a man, a woman. He's looking for a person, a David, who shows up on the battlefield with faith. Say, God, you're in charge here. And when he finds that person or a group of people who are champions of faith, let me tell you, his power is released. He's ready to roll, and we work together as a team, and amazing things happen. I feel like 2023 is going to be one of the best years in the life of the church. We're already off to a great start. So many good things over the last 5 months, different meetings and this and that and just ministry. And this summer is absolutely phenomenal of the opportunity in front of us. But listen, we are better together, but God is always looking for champions of faith. Who is that person? What do they look like? They just believe God for the next step. I shared this in the earlier service. You may be here today and you have the next idea for the church family. It takes one person with an idea that's a God idea. And you talk about it and all of a sudden everybody gathers around it. That might come through you. And so when we join together, when we say, hey, be a champion of faith, say, God, I'm here, use me, take me, I'm available, because I want us individually and as a team to make a difference going forward in our community. So 4 teamwork insights. Organize your meeting the need, organize your team around meeting the need of another person. Number 2, each team member does their part. Listen, pick up your corner of the mat during this summer. Whatever it is, you've got a little piece to pick up and carry. Teamwork makes the dream work. Number 3, Jesus responds to people's faith. If you want to be a magnet of God coming into your life in a deeper way, just exercise faith. He'll show up and do amazing things in you and through you. And number 4, I love this. The actions of a few caught the attention of many. And you know who got the glory at the end of this story? God did. I mean, the pavilion, we're going to dedicate it, and a lot of people jumped in on it. Then the basketball court, same thing. I mean, a lot of people have done a lot of good stuff. We give God the credit and the glory. And say, God, what is the next step? What is it? Is there something more? But we're better together, and God gets the praise when we walk it forward and do all that he calls us to do. So the final thought comes back to this. He's looking for a champion of faith. Somebody that'll get a hold of an idea, or as a team, collectively work together to push something forward, and that is when amazing things happen in life. I want to thank you, the church family, for being people of faith. I look back at the last 20 years, and we've had some great champions. You know what they did? They led the charge in certain areas. It could be a kids program, Deb and Rob, and it could be soup. It could be all kinds of things. could be missions with Pat. And we have champions of faith that say, God, here I am. Use me. Let's bow for prayer. Take a moment of silence and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And maybe He's putting an idea into your heart right now. For yourself, your family, maybe it's for the church, the community. That's what He does. He drops ideas into people's hearts and He makes you the champion of that idea. Father, we bow and we just thank You now for grace that enables us to follow You, and thank You for Jesus and His Lordship, and we surrender our lives to it. We put Him in charge, and we open our hearts to be the champion of faith for that next step, for whatever it is You're calling us individually or collectively to do as a team for our community. Father, I pray that going forward, even today in this service, You will plant new dreams and visions and ideas into people's hearts that will transform families, that will touch a community, and that'll make a difference in the area, the region we live. Take us, we pray, we surrender ourselves to You and ask that You will be our God, and through teamwork, it'll make the dream work. In Jesus' name, amen.